All right, shifting gears. It said you do not get to choose your parents. Right, Dick? We didn't choose our parents. But we were very lucky. Our father, known as Pop, taught us honesty, respect. He taught us even how to have fun, and he never said to Dick or I, oh, you can't do that. Not ever. Pop told me before he died that when he was 12, it's the same year that Lindbergh flew to Paris, that his mom took him out to a local airport, and he saw a speck in the sky getting larger. It was a Ford Trimotor. And he was just absolutely blown away by how huge it was and how impressive it was. And I found a picture on the internet with some 12-year-olds looking over a fence in that era. One of those could be my dad. And my dad concluded right then, I believe I would never in my lifetime get to ride in an airplane. Okay, a couple of slides on what I call two flights. If you're not part of the aviation community, I am known, and Dick is known, pretty much for just two flights, right? One of them took 9 days, the Voyager flight. And I'm taking too much of this time, so I'll let Dick talk to you about Voyager. And by the way, if you miss any of his presentations at the museum on Voyager, they were phenomenal. I hadn't heard it in a long time, and I got to do that yesterday.
Thank you.
Yeah. The other flight that the public knows me for is the Spaceship One flight on the 21st of June 2004. And somebody who does media research told me at the time that if you use the criteria of how many world newspapers cover a story above the fold, you know what that means, above the fold? You see a stack of newspapers and you see it on. How many world newspapers cover it above the fold? Our flight with Spaceship One, our little home built, built out of Mojave, was the number two story, world story, of 2004. And if they hadn't dragged Saddam Hussein out of his spider hole, it would have been number one. I'm going to shift gears again and show you some things that I have not shown in my speaks at Oshkosh, or you know, really anywhere. And I want to share with you some things that I thought would be kind of cool to show you. Sally Melville is not here this week, but her husband, Mike Melville, is here. He was at my talk at noon today. The picture on the left, I labeled fear. The word from Spaceship One is that the trim control is stuck in a position so Spaceship One cannot survive reentry and certainly can't be landed, and her husband's up there falling into the atmosphere. A few minutes later is joy. And that's when she sees her husband controlling Spaceship One flying overhead, getting ready to circle and land in front of us. I'm going to talk about RAF, a little different than how I normally talk about it. Got a single slide here. I'm going to talk about Scaled Composites, the bigger company that I founded in Mojave. And trying to decide what would be best to talk to this audience, I decided to show you some things that kind of were in my heart. And the thing that boiled right to the top, because he gave me and my wife, Tanya, who's a seaplane pilot, John Carco gave us rides in the Icon when I was here 4 years ago out here in the lake. And to me, as a hero. The Global Flyer airplane that was built for Steve Fawcett to try to attempt to beat Dick's records. He beat a couple of them only by flying three flights non-refueled around the world. Remember that, Dick? That was John Carco's program. Another one was the X-47A, unmanned. And because of that program that John led and did very quickly and did charge Northrop Grumman a nickel and a dime for it, they went out and captured a program for the X-47B, an unmanned airplane that lands on aircraft carriers, a multi-billion dollar contract. And that kind of performance is the reason that Scaled Composites thrived. You know, when 60 Minutes calls you and say they want to do a program on you, what do you think? The first thing you think is, I'm going to get on an airliner right now and go to a country that doesn't have extradition. I ended up being featured on a double segment of 60 Minutes. And they followed me around with their TV cameras for a few months everywhere, Oshkosh and Huntsville, Alabama, the Rocket Center, and so on. And I didn't know it at the time. Ed Bradley didn't look well, but here he is in my office. And this is ended up to be his last 60 Minutes program before he died. I want to show you one of our worst days in Mojave. Our 85% scale Starship was a beautiful airplane, and there were three museums that wanted it. But I was ordered by Beechcraft. I guess I can say that now because they really don't exist anymore.
Just use his initials.
Okay. I was ordered to destroy it. So I hid it for a year. And then people came up with end loaders and hatchets and destroyed the airplane, so I can't show it to you in a museum right now, but it was one of the most beautiful airplanes that we ever built. Kind of made us mad. In the interim, I'm going to show you a top secret photo that I would not show to Beechcraft. It's called grazing. Is there anybody here that works for Beechcraft? Well, no, there isn't a Beechcraft anymore. Isn't there? So I could ask that question. I got to share a thought with you, is that we considered when the first full-scale Beech Starship, by the way, I want to thank Robert Scherer, who flew right here, who flew seven of us to Oshkosh this year. In a Starship. By the way, I learned something a couple days ago, that you don't get jet lag in a Starship. You don't. You get warp lag. I'm at it. Let me invite Tanya to stand up, also my wife. Tanya, you doing filming? And Brent Reagan is going to help me do the talk tomorrow, midday tomorrow, and the talk describes my struggle. It describes why I failed at retirement. Here's another top secret photo that we had in a drawer and didn't show to Beechcraft. All of these pictures that you see that were taken in the 70s and 80s out of Mojave that had airplanes in real close formation, isn't that a nice overlap on that trail formation? Our ability to display them really properly like that is because this guy right here, the steely-eyed, velvet-armed fighter pilot, he knew how to teach someone who wasn't a fighter pilot how to safely fly formation and how to do it properly and how to do it like this. And when we showed up and did some cool things with formations of airplanes at Oshkosh, we wouldn't have been able to do that without Dick's expertise and training. Okay, let's look at a snapshot of the history of RAF, which is my home airplane company that did RAF, and scaled composites. By the way, I cut this off at 2011 when I retired. I don't get a lot of information out of Mojave after that. Well, I do, but I'm not sure it's right. So I don't talk about things that were done after that. I don't give talks about Stratolaunch, the big airplane, and so on. So things that happened after I left Mojave and moved up to North Idaho and attempted to retire, I don't discuss. If you look at this blue chart here, starting with the Very Big and Long Easy, Voyager, which is a RAF project, up to the point where RAF stopped selling plans in 1985, see how steep that slope was? How many, oh, by the way, these are first flights of new airplanes and the dates at which they occurred. Look at the slope of that blue thing up there to Voyager. We flew a hell of a lot of airplanes per year.